So we pointed out last week that the Almighty God, in God's plan for our eternal peace, in God's plan to help see to it that you and me do not end up in the eternal hell at the end of all things. In that plan that God revealed, there was no such arrangement by God to give us options, choices in certain areas of our relating to Him. The Almighty God, on His own consideration, based on His holiness and wisdom, He realized that one Savior is what we need. In fact, you know, I talk about one Savior is what we need. Let me just drop this by two. The Almighty God planned for us not based on our likes or our wants, but on our needs. So you will be mindful that a lot of the problem we have with what the Bible teaches and the will of God and what we may or may not do, it's based on our likes and our wants. But for God, He brushed those one side when it comes to our eternal peace. He deals with us on our spiritual needs. And in making plan for that and initiating His eternal will and purpose, God made no allowance for you to have option. In the Savior, one Savior. And as is the Savior, so is the church. One church. As I said last week, anyway, the foolishness you hear all the time about the church of your choice, anyway you can have the church of your choice, you may also have the Savior of your choice. Let me put it another way. If the Almighty God gives you the Savior of your choice, that is the one you want, the one you like, then He would likely also give you the church of your choice. But may I? If He did not give you the Savior of your choice, neither has He given us the church of our choice. But not only the Savior and the church, God has a plan to save man. In a few minutes, I'm going to let the Bible tell you that this plan was put together from before the world was created. That is, before the Almighty God created man, He put this plan together. He has a plan, a specific plan to save man. Put another way, Brother Mitchell. There is a particular way that every man, every woman going to be saved. That's right. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I thought that we all, with our religious inclination, we believe there is a God, and I thought I could just choose how I want to do this. No, not when it comes to your eternal peace. There are certain things that God has left up to us. our likes, our dislikes, our inclination, but not when it comes to our eternal peace. Not when it comes to forgiveness of sin. Not when it comes to relating to God. So he has a plan of salvation. But not only that he has a plan of salvation, he has in Christ a body of teaching. Listen how Jude referred to it. Jude, it has one chapter. Remember, Jude is close to Revelation. It has one chapter. And for this purpose, we need verse 3. We're talking about God has one body of teaching. In the book of Acts of the Apostle, that body of teaching that comprises Christianity is referred to as the way. That's right, the way. Let us hear it. Did I say Jude chapter 1? It has one chapter and it is verse 3. Let us hear it.
Beloved. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith.
Wait. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, the faith. Always remember when you read that passage, it's not referring to the belief we have inside. That is referring to Christ's teaching. The faith means the teaching. That is the body of teaching or doctrine delivered to the church by the apostles of Christ. Notice how it is described. It is the faith. Wait, it is not the faith. You don't have, you know, like you'd say, well, we have the Roman Catholic faith, the Baptist faith, the Jehovah Witness faith, the Seventh-day Adventist faith, and I can go on and on. No. Jesus Christ doesn't have any such plan. Talk about Baptist faith. John the Baptist, if he comes back here now, he would tell you that he doesn't have any faith. Are we all there? That you should contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Are we all there? That is the body of teaching delivered to the church by the apostle. The faith. And all these multiplicity of faith that we have in the world today, they are not of God. You know who gave them? Satan. That's right. Wait, I may just drop by. If you have a choice in the church, you choose. It was not given by God. It was given by the devil. That's right. Because Jesus Christ, as we have shown you last week, and I may just pick up one passage on the point this week, that he gives the world one body, one church. But not only one Savior, one church, one plan of salvation, one body of teaching, but one kind of worship. And I drop this. This is a little broader that I'm giving up front. That worship was never meant to be entertainment. So if you go to church every Sunday to be entertained, right up front, you are going with the wrong concept, because entertainment, the emphasis is on the worshiper. When you or I go, say we are going to worship and we are going to be tickled, to be entertained, then you see, you are not going to give God worship. But Brother Mitchell, don't I can go get some entertainment and also worship God? No, that's conflict of interest. I don't want to go to the passage in the book of Isaiah 58 or 48 and verse 3. I don't want to go there now because time, I want to use up my time. Yes. So if you come worship to be entertained, the Almighty God indicate that you cannot be entertained and be worshiping Him. Because one of those going to give to the other or pull away from the other. God is a spirit, and they who worship Him, the Almighty God at all times must be the center and the focus of worship. Not what you and I like. So, God's plan of salvation for us, or God's plan for our eternal salvation, never include the church of your choice, the Savior of your choice, the worship of your choice, the plan of salvation of your choice, and the doctrine or teaching of your choice. And remember, God's plan was put together before the world was created. Look to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 following. Read that for me, somebody.
How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words.
Remember, the word mystery means something which was hidden but is now revealed. So it's no more a mystery. Read on.
Whereby
He made known to me.
When ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Everybody listen to that. What the apostle is saying, that previous to the coming of Jesus Christ, God's plan was kept hidden from everybody, even from the prophets. Read on.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Everybody here? It is now, when you have the prophet, that is at the time Paul was writing, that lot of God's plan to save man was made known. But Brother Mitchell, what about these Old Testament prophets? Yes, they served their purpose, but their purpose was to tell about the plan of God that was coming to redeem man. That plan was not unfolded in their time. It's the coming of Christ that brought that unfolding. Read on.
That the Gentiles should be followers and of the same body, and partakers of His promise.
Wait, the brothers just said something here that passed you. I know many of you pick it up. That the Gentiles should be fellow hearers.
And of the same body.
Wait, let us establish this. The body is the church. The body is the church. So the passage the brother has before in there, that is Ephesians chapter 3. What verse you read?
Verse 6.
That part about the body again, brother. Let us hear it.
That the Gentiles should be followers.
Wait. You need to get this. You see, because it's touching a point there that we dealt with last week. I don't plan to spend a lot of time, but you see, the Bible teaches repetition. That Paul teaches Timothy to remind God's people. That's only the way that some of us really learn, when we hear the thing quite a few times. That the Gentiles
should be fellow heirs. And of the same body.
Take time with me, brother. And of the what?
And of the same body.
Of the same body. What is the body? The church. So watch here. You need to get this. The Almighty God not going to save Jews in a Jewish church and Gentiles in a Gentile church. God not going to have two churches. Brother Mitchell, can't we just force something down God's throat? There's a point I'm about to make in a few minutes' time, that man cannot force anything down God's throat. God's eternal plan that was hidden from before we were created, from before the world was created, was that he's going to save Jew and Gentile in one church, the same church. What verse are you?
Verse 6.
And that is Ephesians. Read on a little further now.
And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this plan to save man, including one Savior, one church, one body of doctrine or teaching, one kind of worship, etc., that was not a hurry come up plan by God. It was here before the world was ever created. But watch here. God does not, never did, operate outside of his plan or system dealing with man's sin, man's trespasses, and man's forgiveness. I need to repeat that. The Almighty God does not, and God never did operate outside of his revealed plan to deal with our sin, our trespasses, our forgiveness, and our eternal peace. Never. The Almighty God has never operated outside of his plan. Wait. Watch here. It is pointed out by studying biblical chronology, that is the period by period that the Bible reveals, it is pointed out that Adam and Eve was here about, it was about 4,000 BC. That is Adam and Eve. That is the Garden of Eden. It was about approximately. And we are going by biblical chronology here. 4,000 years before Christ. And then when you had that, since Jesus Christ, it's 2,000 years. So when you had, we are saying therefore that God has been dealing with man, as far as we know, taking biblical chronology as the guide, for some 6,000 years. Watch me now. The point I previously made, that the Almighty God does not The Almighty God has never dealt with man outside of his plan and will. God has never, for these 6,000 years that he has been dealing with man, God has never, watch here, put aside his plan and accept man's substitute. Never. Never. There is not one instance, not one, not even a hint, that God was ever willing to said, okay, what Noah present, even though that's not what I had in mind, I'll accept it. Or what Abraham present, even though that's not what I have in mind, I'll accept it. Never, never, never. Are we all here? For the 6,000 years that God has been dealing with man, and even if it's twice time that time, the Almighty God has never put aside his plan and accept man's plan. Never. And we must be mindful of that. Let me, did I say it? Yes, I'd say it. That you don't guess God. That's a fact. You don't guess what God wants you to do. It doesn't mean we cannot, and it doesn't mean people have not, but it means you cannot please God by guessing his will. That's a fact. That's why the Almighty God take time out from he begin to deal with man. He took time out to reveal his will. And it's important that we know the will of God. Very important, you know. And I repeat something that I've said before. That is, you can never serve God acceptably if you do not know him and know his will. You and I may guess some religious thing and feel that God should accept this. But in so many cases, men and women who guess were wrong. Look here now. Look where the emphasis is on these passages. Acts 22, verse 14. Let us hear it. Another brother turned to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Another reader turned to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. We are talking about the will of God.
And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. That thou shouldst know his will.
Wait. May I have your attention? Brothers and sisters, the person that is being addressed here is Paul. That's one of the most deeply religious persons you can find in the Bible. Wait. One of the most knowledgeable man in respect to how God dealt with the Jews from the beginning. That's the person being addressed here. And when he was called, God's messenger said to him, or Jesus Christ said to him, read that again.
The God of our fathers,
the God of our father,
hath chosen thee.
Hath chosen you.
That thou shouldst know his will.
You get what I have gotten from this? That up to this point, Paul did not know the will of God. Even though this man could rattle off Old Testament history, and how God dealt with the Israelite. He did not know the will of God. And if you don't know the will of God, you cannot serve God his way. And you cannot serve God if you don't know God. You think a little time, people prepare, they know somebody going to visit them, and they prepare a nice dish. They put out a lot of money. They put out a lot of effort, a lot of expertise, and fix nice food and all to when the person come and the table is spread. The person, you know, I don't like that. I don't eat that, you know. I don't. Huh? Well, that's the case with us and God. Don't go prepare a meal for him, not him, not tell you. That's right. That you may know the who? Paul? Yes! He did not know God's will. All this time when he was persecuting the church for Judaism, he was ignorant. You see, the emphasis here is knowing the will of God. Listen, the other passage in the book of Ephesians. It is chapter 5 and verse 17. Let us hear it.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise.
Be not unwise. Don't be unwise.
But understanding what the will of the Lord.
You get what I got here? I just got here that when we do not understand God's will, we are unwise. Huh? So this is why Christian must put emphasis every opportunity you get to know Christ and his will more. Wait. Well, thank God, Brother Mitchell, I've been in the church for 110 years. Well, that doesn't mean you know the will of God. That's a fact. It is that assumption that we know God and his will that hinder many Christians from studying the Bible more. And they do not see the need to come to things like Bible study, where you can listen to the feedback of other Christian and learn from it. It's that assumption. Let me hear Ephesians again. Quick.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise.
Don't be unwise, but
understanding what the will of the Lord is.
That's a need in all of us to understand better God's will. One more passage on that very point. It is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and I think it's verse 9. Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 9.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
In Paul's prayer for the Christians at Colossae was the fact that they might be what? Filled
with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
So here we have just looked at three passages whose emphasis is on understanding, having better knowledge of the will of God. Because only as we have that better knowledge, we can go through life with certainty that what we are doing, what we believe, is what Christ wants us to believe. So one church, the Bible teaches that. May I belong to a church, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Run through this passage while we dealt with the one church and the one Savior last week. Listen, Revelation chapter 2, I think, verse 9. Revelation.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
And tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But thou art rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not.
Watch it. Don't move up the passage. These people were claiming that they are Jews, and by that they were implying that they are God's people. The Almighty God sent message. I think this was from the church at Ephesus, whichever of the congregation this was written. But by this time, when the Almighty God sent the message to the seven congregation of the church of Christ, when the passage, the Bible, talks about the seven churches of Asia, it's not talk about seven denomination. You must keep that in mind. It's seven church congregation of the church of Christ that was scattered over Asia. You understand? If the church is not the church of Christ, it's not Christ's church. That's it. The true church has identifying marks. That is, their characteristics about the true New Testament church, the one founded by Christ, that you can tick off. Who was the founder? Where was it founded? What are the conditions, are the terms of membership? How does it worship? By what name is it known in the Bible? All of these. You come talking about, I'm a Baptist, Brother Mitchell. Where in the Bible you find that anyone was a Baptist? There was a man who was named John the Baptizer, hence the Baptist. That's what the Baptist mean, you know. John the Baptizer is really what that means. John the Baptist is John the Baptizer. John, the man who carried out or performed baptism. Baptist was only telling you what he does. And you know what? He never was a founder of a church. So we are not finished with Revelation chapter 2, verse 9.
I know thy works.
I know thy works.
And tribulation.
I know the tribulation you have gone through, our experience.
And poverty.
I know your economic situation.
But thou art rich.
But Christ says, in spite of all these social, economical, or worldly consideration, you are what? Rich? Read.
And I know the blasphemy.
I know also. Wait. I do not only know about you, my people, my church. There is some other religious people close by you. Are we all there? Are we all there? I know the blasphemy
of them
which
say they are Jews.
They are Jews. Wait, they were as if it were competing with the Church of Christ. Like the Church of Christ was down the street there and they up the street there, and they were saying, we are Jews. We just do things a little different from you, Church of Christ people. But we are God's people. We are Jews. That's their claim. You can always make a claim. But you know what? Until you get God's certification for that claim, your claim is vain. I know thy word. I know them who say that they are.
That they are Jews.
They are Jews.
And are not.
Wait. Christ saying, they are false. They are not. Everybody wants to say, we are Christian. And some of these people don't even know the first step to becoming a Christian. Men and women today get mixed up with being religious and being a Christian. They are two different things. May I just drop this by, you know, throughout the lesson I'm giving brother, because I'm a kind person. You know what? Almost everybody in the book of Acts that was converted, no less than about 80% of those who got converted were religious men and women. That's right. You want us to go down, start from Acts of the Apostles chapter 2? We don't have the time. Yes, no less than 80% of the converts, they were converted from some religion. Wait, the 3,000 that got converted on the day of Pentecost, you know where they were converted from? Judaism. Wait, Brother Michel, what does that imply? They were using the same Bible Paul and others use, huh? They were worshiping the same God, huh? But they needed proper teaching to become God's children the proper way. Revelation, you are still there, brother. I know thy work. You say you are Jews and you are not.
But are the synagogue of Satan.
Somebody didn't hear that. They are the church of Satan. We all hear that? Brother Mitchell, where you find that? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. The claim that they were making that they are children of God, God's people, were false. Wait, at least they thought they were right. But God says they are false. They are Satan church. Did they have a name on it, Satan church? No, God's people. We are Jews, God's people. So that churches make this claim and that claim, God knows all the facts. And he said that they were not. May I go on now with the lesson? There is one plan of salvation. Just one. That is, God intends that every man, every woman become Christian the very same way. That's right. May I, brothers and sisters and our visiting friend, whenever you find you have co-workers, and you become a Christian at your church different from this person became a Christian at his or her church, something is either wrong with the way both of you became Christian or the way one of you became Christian. God has one plan. The same set of conditions must be obeyed by every one of us. There is no such plan in God's plan, in Christ's scheme of redemption, where you become a Christian by doing this, this, and that. You did three things. And I become a Christian by doing this, that, that, and that. I did five things. And the other person became a Christian by doing four. No, there is no such thing. There is one plan of salvation. Paul touched on it in the book of Philippians. And it is chapter 3, verse 16. Let us hear it. Philippians 3:16.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing.
Let us walk by what, brother?
Walk by the same rule.
What?
By the same rule.
What?
The same rule.
It is the Almighty God who put in Paul to remind the Christian at Philippi about the fact that God's plan required that all of us walk by the same rule. When we talk about God's plan of salvation, that is included in this same rule. God doesn't have a plan where I teach you here that the only thing you need to do to become a child of God is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Should I be baptized? No, baptism is optional. But then you go down the street and the person down there telling you, you must be baptized. No, something is wrong. You have just been told here that we should all walk by the same rule. And where we are all not walking by the same rule, something is wrong. And we cannot brush it aside and say, well, me no care, all me I look about is my soul. Well, you know what? While you look about your soul, you need to look about other people's soul too. Talk about church of your choice and you worship the way you want, I worship the way I want. No, because we don't do what we want. Worship is all about God. Well, take the doctrine, the teaching that the various church have. May I, brothers and sisters, I need to rush on and finish this thing. You know, that on every pulpit in every church there's a Bible doesn't mean we are following the Bible. Please. Cain and Abel got the same instruction from God. That is, they got the same Bible, but they end up worshiping differently. Did God accept both worship? No. Because when God gives instruction and you or I stray from it, it become unacceptable. So not only one plan of salvation, there is one body of doctrine or teaching. Did I say one? And you and I have no choice. You see, it's not like we get confused. And I've often explained, when you and I go to a restaurant, we each order what he or she wants. When we go to buy our attire, our clothing, we buy what we want. And you notice in the audience how the men and the ladies, we all, the ladies do not wear the same thing. The men do not, you go, you choose the color you want, and you know what? God gives us that. God allows that. You know what? Something as vital as food that we eat to sustain life. Different one of you would have fixed your meal differently today. Thank God, God has given us that freedom. But the one place you cannot take that is when it comes to your sin, the forgiveness of your sin, and relating to the Almighty God successfully. You cannot bring what you like and what you want in that. The teaching to make us right, the doctrine, that is all Jesus' prerogative. He did not give us option or choices. Are we all there? Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through verse 8. Quick. Galatians.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Wait. You see, there's so much in these passages. Whatever these Galatians were drifting towards, it was religious teaching too, you know. That's why Paul referred to it as another gospel. So it's not that they were abandoning the true teaching given by the apostle for some whatever. It was religious teaching. But Paul says, I marvel, I wonder, it make me wonder about you. To another gospel, read on.
Which is not another.
Paul says it's not another gospel. Well, and that implies there can be no other religious teaching to be competing with the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's right. The teachings of Jesus Christ is medicine for our soul. And it does what no other religious teaching can do, not even the law, not even the teaching of John the Baptist. Men who obey the teaching of John the Baptist after Christianity came into existence had to be corrected and baptized over. He said, which is not another, but there's some that would pervert.
That would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Everybody get that? The word pervert means there are people who want to mess up, interfere with, butcher, twist, fight the gospel of Christ. Paul, and now there are plenty of that. And what you get here, you know, don't interfere with the doctrine of Christ. When he said there are some that would pervert, pervert means you wrestle with it, you fight against it. Don't interfere with the teachings of Christ. It's only one. Read on.
But though we,
watch here now, but though we,
or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel.
I always find this passage awesome. Because brothers and sisters, if an angel come from heaven and wake me out my sleep, I would want to give attention. That would be an awesome experience. But that's why inspiration directed Paul to use angel, heavenly being. Because what is the implication here is that what is given by the apostle is so fixed. Is so fixed. That even if angel interfere with it, that angel is under curse from God. If an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached,
let him be accursed.
You see what I see, what Paul is saying? If an angel come, the angel have to bring the same thing we have taught you, or else you are in deadly danger. Brothers and sisters, that is telling you and me that it doesn't matter from where the teaching comes. We must compare it with the pure teaching of the gospel. If an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And then that was said in verse 8. He's going to repeat it in verse 9. As we have said before, so say I now again. If any man, you notice, in the first place, in verse 8, he said angel. And should you be confused, he's going to make sure that nothing is exempt. Now in verse 9, he says man, if any man. And that is bring any other teaching. And this is telling me, brothers and sisters, that there can be no other doctrine, body of teaching other than that of Jesus Christ. Can we listen to another passage? Run to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 4 or 5. Quick, time is running out on me. Please.
If any man teach otherwise, and consent.
Everybody hear that? Just the word otherwise tell us something. If any man teach otherwise.
Amen. And consent.
Take time with me, though, brother. If any man teach otherwise, any person, angel or man, come with any other teaching than that which is given by the apostle, curse is on that person. What are we looking at? We were not given choices, or we were not given options by the Almighty God. Not only in reference to the Savior, Christ gave us, God gave us one. Not only in reference to the church, he gave us one true church. Not only in reference to the plan of salvation, he gave us one plan of salvation. And he tells us that all must walk by that one plan when he said all of us must live by the same rule. But also the body of doctrine or teaching. Just one. Did I say 1 Timothy chapter 6? If any man teach otherwise, the brother is at verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and
consent not to wholesome words.
Yeah, wait, watch here now. You know what I like about this too? Wholesome words, it was not left up to you and me to determine what wholesome word is. I'm glad about that. You know, had he stopped there at wholesome word, we would have a long argument going on for hundreds of years now in respect to what is wholesome word. But he's going to tell you what wholesome words are. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what is wholesome words?
Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That means the teachings of Jesus Christ as given to the apostle. How do I know? Because Jesus Christ had prayed in the book of St. John for those who would believe on him, Christ, through the apostles' teaching. So wholesome word is the teachings of Christ. Any way a man or a woman or an angel stray from the teaching of Jesus Christ, step down to verse 5, brother.
Perverse disrupting of men of corrupt minds.
Mm-hmm.
And destitute of the truth.
That means that they are empty of the truth. They don't know the truth. Read on.
Supposing that gain is godliness.
Yes, they are in it for personal, worldly, material gain. Uh-huh.
From such withdraw thyself.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why, well, this is just but one reason the Church of Christ don't fellowship with the various denominations. That's right. The Bible tells you when their teachings are contrary to the gospel, when you fellowship with them, God consider you a part of their evil deeds. So Paul says, from such turn away. Let me wrap it up. Let us hear 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. I think that's the passage I want.
Take heed unto thyself,
mm-hmm,
and unto the doctrine. Continue in them.
Everybody hear that? People tell you, well, doctrine, I'm going to serve God. You can't serve God without knowing the doctrine. So here Paul writing to the preacher, Timothy, take heed unto yourself. The word take heed means be careful, be cautious, don't be careless, don't behave any and any way. But not only to yourself, to your teaching. That is, you can't go teaching what you like and what you want. Take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine.
Continue in them.
Continue in them.
For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
When he said continue in them, you know, it's in the doctrine. That is from God. When you continue in that doctrine, or in those principles found in the doctrine of Christ, then you will save both yourself and others. We must end this lesson, brothers and sisters. One more point, just one more point, because we won't come back to this. Worship, the worship of your choice. May I? There are, what, if my memory serves right, about four types of worship mentioned in the Bible. The Bible speaks about vain worship. Watch me now. We're not going to spend time on this because time runs out. The Bible speaks about, remember, what I'm listing here is the various worship of which the New Testament speaks. It speaks about vain worship in Matthew chapter 15. It speaks about ignorant worship in Acts 17. It speaks about will worship in Colossians. And it speaks about true worship in St. John. Watch me now. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 through 23, why we need to look at this one briefly, let us hear it. That's where it speaks about will worship. Let us hear it. Colossians 2, verse 20 through 23.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?
Mm-hmm.
Touch not,
mm-hmm.
taste not,
mm-hmm.
handle not.
Mm-hmm.
Which are.
Wait. These touch not, taste not, handle not, these were some of the doctrines of men introduced in man-made idolatrous worship. So the restraint and the abstinent being listed here sounds good. That sounds like Christianity. Touch not, taste not, handle not. But what the Apostle Paul is doing is listing some of the man-made teaching, religious teaching, that have that deceptiveness of looking good, but it's not good. Touch not, taste not, handle not.
Which all are to perish with the using,
mm-hmm.
after the commandments and doctrines of men.
What?
After the commandments and doctrines of men.
You hear? But he's not finished. Read.
Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will worship.
Wait. Will worship. They have a shoe. On the surface, they appear as if it is okay. They have a show of will worship. In appearance, it looks good. But read on, have a show of will worship.
And humility.
Uh-huh.
And neglecting of the body.
Uh-huh.
Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
Uh-huh. What verse is that?
The end of verse 23.
Well, start there. Have a show of will worship. What is worship? Will worship. If you have another translation, it would point it out. The will worship here is based on the will of man, not the will of God. Not the will of God. Paul is placing this type of belief and practice under condemnation. He's not praising what is going on here, you know. It is under condemnation. And it is referred to as will worship. Is worship based, carried out from the will of man, not the will of God. That's one of the worship. So of the four kinds of worship the Bible speaks about, it speaks, remember, vain worship in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. It speaks of in Acts chapter 17, ignorant worship in Acts 17. Here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 following, it speaks of will worship. All those three worship are wrong and acceptable to God. The one worship that the Bible speaks of that is acceptable to God is St. John chapter 4, verse 24 following. True worship. Did you get it? So the Bible speaks of four kinds of worship in which men engage in that time, some of which are going on today, but of the four, only one of which is true worship. Let us encourage you. The Almighty God did not give the world or give us an option to engage in any of these other worship. Vain worship? No. Ignorant worship? No. Will worship? No. Those men and women who do not know the truth are engaging in them, not realizing that they are unacceptable to God. Today, if you're here, you are not a child of God. You have never been properly taught. You have never become Christian the Bible's way. You can respond to God's grace today in Christ. How do you respond? True obedience. True your faith in Christ, in his teaching. True the repentance that follow that faith. Through the confession of Christ's name, that you are not ashamed to own Christ, and through the baptism, that you will submit to as an act of obedience to your Lord and Savior. Today we are here to help you. If through this lesson you see a need to become a child of God, that is to become a child of God, God's way. To become a child of God, the Bible's way. Then as we stand to sing a song to the glory and honor of Christ's name, you can step forward giving your life to Christ. We are here to help you. We are here to answer your question. We are here to clarify whatever needs to be clarified. What we want you to be mindful of is that you need Christ and that you are going to be saved Christ's way or not saved at all. Let us stand as we sing.